I used to be so broken, lost, empty. A heart with no beat, a singer with no song to sing. So I know the feeling, the silence is deafening. But in your pain lies a blessing, a sweet and sour victory. So keep walking, 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 though it seems so far. No matter who you are, see, there's one thing that I know. Life, it can
morning, good morning, good morning to everyone. Good morning to our international partners. Good morning to our partners in the United States of America. Good morning to our ABM, my ABM family. Much love to everybody on this terrific Tuesday. We do realize that this is the day that the Lord has made, so we are going to rejoice. But the thing, if you listen to this song on this morning, it says, things get better. It gets better. It gets better. Why did it get better? Why did your situation get better? Because you might have been in an isolated place. You might have felt like you was in a desert with no one to help you. You might have been out in the sea with no one to bring you in, to anchor you in. But the song says that the relationship that was formed with Jesus, he was there for him. He was able to call on Jesus to help things get better in his life. And that's where we're at today. God gives us things to allow us to get closer to him. So we need to always understand that he never leaves us. Never will he forsake us. We just have to make sure that we do make the transformation in our life, that we accept him and be a willing participant to accept him, and not just accept him, to believe in him, believe that he will do what he says that he say that he will do. And that's where I'm at in my life right now, just willing to believe and trust in God and know that no matter what situation, what circumstances may come my way, that he is my deliverer, he is my healer, he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. I believe that. I believe that with every fiber that's in my body, every existence that's in my body, because he has proven that. He has proven that. That song just really ministers to me. So I'm sorry if I'm just a little bit emotional. But when you go through something and you know that Jesus was there for you and he gave you that extra lifeline, then you have to get acknowledged who he is. We sometimes a little bit too close-mouthed about Jesus and what he has done for us and the people that he, how he has blessed us. We need to be a little bit more vocal about that. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning, God, thanking you again for another day, Lord Jesus. Thanking you, Father God, for your daily word, Father God, the manna, Father God, that you're providing for us in this day and time, Father God. Thanking you, Lord, for your living waters, Father God, that you're never leaving us thirsty, Father God. The well is never dry, Father God, because you just keep replenishing, Father. We thank you, Father God, for the people that you put in our lives, Lord Jesus, to feed us those words, to continue, Father God, to give us water, Father, when we do get thirsty, Lord, where we'll continue to be filled up, Lord Jesus, the overflow comes in, Lord, and we just thank you on that this morning, Father. But, Lord, I want to talk to you this morning, Father God, and just ask you, Lord, to go and touch those, Father God, that's not trusting and believing and not paying attention to the times, Father God. Lord, there's so many that's around me, that's around my family, Lord, that's in crisis right now, Father God, because, Lord, they're not listening, they're not believing, they're not trusting, Lord. So, Father, just send your Holy Spirit, a wave of your Holy Spirit around this land, Lord Jesus. Your power, Father God, your Holy Ghost power, Father, and touch those, Lord Jesus, that's in a state of mind, Father God, that they think that the things that's going on in the world right now, Lord Jesus, it's not real, Father God, or it's framed, it has something to do with the politics, Lord Jesus. Let them know, Father God, that you're bigger than the politics, that you're God all by yourself, the God all-knowing. And this is a call, Father God, for every knee to bow and every tongue to confess who you are, Father God, a call, Father God, to hold on to your unchanging hands, Lord Jesus, a call, Father God, accept you as their Lord and Savior, Father God. A call, Father God, to apply each and everything that we're being taught. It's not just for us, Father God, but it's for us to share, Lord Jesus. Share with your neighbors, share with the community after you've gotten things together. Lord, we need you right now, Father God. I need you. Somebody else needs you. Everybody needs you right now, Lord Jesus. So we're asking, Father God, that you would just allow your word to continue to just resonate through people, Father God, to spread all across the land, Lord Jesus, and touch those, Father God, that's in a feeble position right now, Lord Jesus. Touch those, Father God, that need more of you, more attention than the next need right now, Father God. You are the identifier, Father God. And I know, Lord Jesus, that you will do it. And why do we know, Lord? Because we're asking in the name of Jesus, Father God. Lord, it's not by my might, but it's by your might, Father God, that you just heal the land right now, Father God. Heal the broken, Father God, and give those that are in an area of anguish right now, Father, what they need, Lord Jesus. Let them know that you are the truth, the way, and the light, Father God. And without you, me and everybody else is nothing. Without your guidance, without your Holy Spirit, that we're nothing, that we need you. And we need you right now in this hour, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, amen, amen, and amen. My sister Monica is going to continue where she left off yesterday. Remember, the Holy Spirit had us to park. And when he had us to park, we're going to be obedient and park when he says park and go when he says go. But the last words that came across was to slow down. Slow down. It's a time for you to slow down so you can eat the words that God is giving you, so you can drink the words that God is giving you, so you can apply them in your life, and you can use the wisdom that he's given, because it's out there. She's out there. Wisdom is out there to lead you and to guide you. It's up to you to receive it. It's up to you to apply it. It's up to you to attain it and then allow it to manifest in your life, because she's not going to leave you. She's not going to lead you down the wrong way. If you're listening, if you're not a know-it-all, if you are willing to receive what God has given the man or woman or whomever it may be, it could be a child giving you words of wisdom. It's up to you to apply them in your daily life. Over to you, sister. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. And just as we said, we were parked yesterday, and God poured out his Holy Spirit on us to the point that we couldn't even go into the scriptures until we got across the word that he had given. And like my sister said, he said, slow down. He wants us to understand some things. So in that saying of slow down, I left off in giving or expanding on what wisdom is. And then he also, you know, gave us an understanding that he said a lot of us were not using wisdom, but that wisdom, which is the godly wisdom that he has imparted in many of us, that we were supposed to seek it in prayer. And if we sought that holy divine wisdom that he would impart in each and every one of us, that we would be able to make sound, intelligent decisions that would affect our lives and move us forward in the will of God. Not only that, he said that there were people that did pray, and that they were actually getting the understanding that they need God's wisdom in whatever they were facing in life, and that they were asking God to help them decide which way to go. And that was awesome. But he said that they weren't patient enough to wait on his answer, that they weren't actually waiting long enough to hear what he said to give them that wisdom, because they wanted instant answers. And sometimes it won't come immediately. And sometimes it won't even come where you can hear it. It might be, like she said, it might be spoken through a child, or a brother and sister in Christ, or at some other moment on down the road in your future after you petition God for this,
after you petition God for this divine understanding, okay, so as I go into what he did say, and that divine wisdom that he did say that people were seeking but weren't patient for getting, they have to actually be patient enough to hear what he's saying, get that divine, and then apply it, act on it. So that's where I left off yesterday, and so I'm going to go back and pick up on some of the definitions. And it's not the same definition, but just a recap for anybody that wasn't listening or wasn't on at the time. But it says that we are to have common sense, judgment, or, you know, sound wisdom. And it means the ability to reach intelligent conclusions. Sense implies a reliable ability to judge and decide with soundness, prudence, and intelligence. But common sense suggests an average degree of such ability without sophistication or any kind of special knowledge. So there you have your wisdom that can come in on the ability to draw a conclusion, but then you got common sense. And a lot of people think that common sense is common, but it's not common. And the people that do have common sense, they don't even have to go to college. They don't have to have no scholarship. I mean, they don't have to be a scholar. They don't have to have these masters and all of this stuff to actually impart wisdom, to actually be able to visit into a situation with godly wisdom. Because once we are under the blood, once we seek God, once we belong to him, we have that relationship where we can get in his counsel, and he'll impart that godly wisdom. But like you said, we just need to be patient and wait on it and slow down. And the judgment implies that we have a sense that we can refine. We can use whatever experience we had and learn from that lesson. And that's another sort of wisdom that we'll have from the beginning of a situation, because in the past we may have had an experience that prepared us for that moment to make a sound decision or to have good judgment in something that we're doing. Or we may have had training in something and we developed a maturity or sound, you know, understanding in what we need to do in this moment because of the training we had in the past or experience we had in the past. And that would imply that the sense of judgment would go far above average reasoning. So as I go into the scripture, I'm going to go to Proverbs, the first chapter, and I'm going to start, and it speaks on, well, verse 10 says, "My children," and he's talking to us, and it basically speaks on what wisdom is not. Now, we covered what wisdom was yesterday. We had a lot of understanding in that because God poured out the Spirit, and he gave us a lot of analogies. He gave my sister and I a lot of ways to bring forth ideas of what wisdom was so that no one could get it, you know, misconstrued. The interpretation of wisdom has been flawed because a lot of people believe that wisdom the natural or in society today is reflected on someone's bank account or their social status or the fact that one of the analogies I can give you is there is a lot of people that think a wise man is someone that maybe invest in the stock market and became a billionaire or whatnot. But that doesn't mean that he possessed godly wisdom. All it means is that he knew how to make business decisions and they fell in his favor. But that doesn't mean that he had the godly wisdom that God gives us when we petition him and we abide in him and we are obedient to him. So I don't want anybody, a man has all of these possessions that he has this amassed a huge fortune, that is a wise man. That is not God's biblical definition of wisdom. It is not what you have and what you have accomplished in yourself that made you wise. What makes you wise
is what God could give you to be able to maneuver into life or through life through experiences that would give you an outcome that is not only a success in life, but you had the guidance or the counsel of God within that, and it was pleasing to God. Because some of the people that have made these fortunes or whatnot may not even serve the Lord. They may very well be atheists. And then we're attributing them to have all of this understanding and wisdom just because they did so. And that wasn't even godly wisdom that they were, you know, exhibiting. They were just showing that they had made the right investments, and they might have even was born with a silver spoon in their mouth. So moving on to what wisdom definitely was not, it's also not the fact that someone has a bunch of credentials. If you've been to school and you've gotten all these credentials, PhDs, masters, by you as a wise man. A wise man is someone that could visit a situation and could impart the right decision because they did have God's counsel, and God was able to guide them and inform them and to do something that would be just, or to act or react in a just way according to the situation that they were in. So when they impart that wisdom, they may be able to deal with other people, not just themselves or their own situation, but other people that they're encountering, and that they will be able to handle them the way God would want them to handle them. So that's where the godly wisdom is, but this is where it's not. Godly wisdom is not in the scripture. What we're about to go over from 10 to 19 is not a lot of things that is going on today in society. So I'm going to read and then I'll break it down what the verse is talking about. Verse 10 says, and we're at Proverbs 1 and 10. Verse 10 says, "My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, 'Come and join us, let's hide and kill someone. Just for fun, let's ambush the innocent.' 12, let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of the great things they'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. Come and throw in your lot with us. We'll all share the loot. My child, don't go along with them. Stay away from their path. They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. But these people set an ambush for themselves. They are trying to get themselves killed. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life." Now, that was something that really, to me, spoke volumes. It was very understandable that the people that he's talking to, they were actually being offered. They had peer pressure. They were being offered the opportunity to join in with people who wanted to commit sins. And the wisdom was supposed to be there, but it wasn't there because they were even pondering engaging with these people. Now, in verse 10, it said, "My child, if sinners entice you," that in itself is the first step, especially to our young people and our immature people that haven't had a lot of life experiences. So when they have friends and socials, associates that, you know, entertain them, they encourage them to try something. And that's all God is saying is turn your back on them. Don't engage with them. Don't start the foolish antics. Don't be a fool, because, see, the opposite of a wise man is a fool. And a fool would allow someone to encourage them or entice them to behave in sin, whatever the sin may be. If it's just, you know, mischief or whatever in the community, it could not very well be a great crime, but at the end of the day, it's still sin. So there's a lot of people that needs to hear that verse, that number 10 verse, and don't let sin entice you. So wisdom is not a foolish person that would go and fall to peer pressure. Then in 11 it says, they may come and they may say, come and join us and let's hide and kill someone. Or just for fun, let's ambush the innocent. So here you have people that have this moral problem of they don't even have a moral standard to see that, you know, you can't just go out here and wrong people. You can't scam people. You can't be an ungodly person and think that it's going to be wise to do so, because the wisdom of the foolish person, it is going to get them in a world of trouble. See, the wisdom of a foolish person is a contradiction. There is no wisdom in a foolish person. A foolish person would think that it's okay to do what they are suggesting, which was let's go kill someone or let's ambush the innocent. See, that in itself, that came out, and it seems to be, you know, part of what's going on inside in society today, where people are actually being unjustly attacked or racially profiled. It's a lot of prejudice going on. It's a lot of racism going on. And you can tell, because if the person that was doing it had any godly wisdom, it wouldn't be happening. But see, we're living in a world where godly wisdom is not actually a common it's not a common attitude. And with that not being a common attitude, the ones of us that have that attitude, we have to realize that we have to teach the ones around us by example. We have to show it. We have to show ourselves an example on what wisdom is, because it's a lot of people that don't know what wisdom is. And this is not wisdom when you're wanting to do things by suggestion of let's kill someone or ambush the innocent or, you know, wrong someone financially or morally, because you can be disrespectful to someone and that be, you know, ambushing the innocent. Or you may even go out and try to do something that you think is support, you know, part of what you would do if you were a protester. I've seen protesters where they were out there trying to do something and deliver a message. They was protesting for a great cause, but some people came along and said, let's throw bricks, let's do this, let's do that. And it took away from what was intended in the march. Because, see, like we had when Martin Luther King was marching for our rights, he had an understanding that we were to march in nonviolence and that we were to march with a cause. But see, he had a godly wisdom. That godly wisdom was so powerful. He moved a nation to an understanding that there's a way to get around everything. And the godly wisdom that we were facing with this man, he was able to pour it out onto our understanding so that we would march with him and that we would accomplish these things, because everybody didn't have the wisdom that he had. So when he poured it out, when God poured it into him and he poured it out to the people, and we did the March on Washington, and a lot of things happened in the world that he was able to help move the legislation. He was able to change things that way. That shows that was godly wisdom. See, that wasn't him being a millionaire and making, you know, a corporation rise up and overtake, you know, the stock market. But what was wisdom was when God allowed Martin Luther King to make steps and be an example and move people to think about what they were doing in their protest, to actually have answers and solutions, that he was wise enough to impart what God was putting on him, and he acted on it. So I'm moving on and telling you to go down to number 12, it says, swallow them. Let's swallow them up like a grave, and let's swallow them like a hole, swallow them whole, like those who go down to the pit of death. And I mean, that's just showing right there that they had evil intentions. There is no way that you can have any kind of wisdom or godly wisdom, and even have in the mindset that you're going to take over somebody and take them to a pit of death. As the verse says, an analogy again, how can you think that you can entertain sin or be lawless and think that that is wisdom in that? Because where does it get you when you get to a point where you're being videotaped? Because everywhere you go, you know that there's a camera or a eye in the sky, what they call in the surveillance world, because there are things that are actually being recorded that you have no clue that's being recorded. But a fool would go ahead and commit the crime or indulge in that sin or whatever it may be and think that they're going to not have the consequences behind it. I mean, I remember seeing on the news where someone actually burnt down a Wendy's behind an incident at the Wendy's and then didn't really think or have the the wisdom of understanding that there was going to be a consequence behind that. Whether it was a sin or a crime, we have to understand that we have to impart this wisdom. And if God don't move you to do these kind of things, then you shouldn't be doing it. You should have that wisdom to not be a fool. So as we go on and we look at verse 13, it says, think of the great things we'll get, and we'll fill our houses with the stuff that we take. See, they're talking about stealing now. That is not even godly wisdom. See, godly wisdom will never allow you to break any of God's commandments. Godly wisdom will never allow you to break the two great commandments. And what are the two great commandments? Is love thy father, love thy God with all thy mind, thy heart, thy soul, and thy spirit. And then the second one is to love thy neighbor as I love thyself. Ten commandments are being broken in what you're doing in your lifestyle or whatever's going on. There's no way godly wisdom is exuding in you. It's no way that you have the counsel of godly wisdom within yourself. And you need to petition God and get before God and help him bring you to the moral standard that he would have you. Not that you would have to just walk around and police other people, but police yourself. Have the godly wisdom to know that the things that you see other people doing, you say, I can't do that. That's not for me. That's what godly wisdom is. That's what the wisdom is when you can look at things and see that everybody is doing it, but you will be the standout. You will be the one that can't be involved or indulge in that because you know better. Because, see, you serve a God that's always looking. And even if he wasn't looking, you wouldn't entertain that mess. So the next verse comes on and it says, come throw in your lot with us and we'll take share in the loot. What they're meaning by come and throw in your lot with us, you know, that means that join in with us. And whatever you contribute, you'll get the benefit of whatever crime we're doing. Where it says, and we'll share all the loot. And we'll share all the loot. You know, keyword loot. That brings to mind where people were supposed to be protesting, and they ended up burning and breaking into buildings and stuff, and they ended up looting and taking stuff out of the stores of the people that were business owners that were trying to provide for their family. They were stealing and looting. Looting has nothing to do with protest or injustice. So those were the fools in society that were actually out there wreaking havoc on our country. The fools were the ones that were stealing and looting, and it had nothing to do with protest and calling for injustice. It was calling for justice when it was a march and it was a protest and we were bringing attention to our injustice and our suffering and our pain, but it was nothing to do with loot. I mean, looting had nothing to do with us protesting and trying to get our justice. So the godly wisdom was in the protester, but guess what? The wisdom that the looters had was not even an existence of godly wisdom. It was the complete sign of foolishness because they were the fools in the situation. And then we go down to 15. It speaks on, my child, don't go along with them. Stay away from them and stay far from their paths. That's God speaking to us. He's telling us we're not going to be able to do the things that people in our lives are doing. We're going to be a peculiar people. We're not going to be able to do things that people say is okay, it's all right, come on, let's do this, whatever it is. If it may be cheating on your taxes or whatever the case may be, and, you know, won't nobody know. Let's go ahead and we're gonna slide this one in, y'all. We're going to do something quick and make this money, and we're going to come up and it's not going to be a big deal. God's saying don't have that kind of judgment. Don't allow anybody that has that kind of judgment to influence you. Those people who say we're going to do this and we're going to do that, notice that they're pulling people with them. The fools are actually engaging with people that are just as much a fool as they are, because now they're asking somebody, not only do I want to commit this sin or crime, I want you to do it with me. Oh, I want to do it, but we need a crowd. Not only are they taking people down with them, they're actually taking them down into something that they can't recover from, because the consequences of their sins or the charges behind the crimes that they may be committing, they can't come back out of it. And see, another thing that people have the audacity to do is God's people will say, God got me. or I'm under the blood, or I'm not worried, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Man, please. Those people are the biggest fools, because God said that he would be there for his people that did come into his godly counsel. Those are the ones that's going to get all of those promises. That is, those are conditional. Those are conditional promises. Those promises are for the people that do seek his face, that do abide in him, and that they have the ability to know when he's speaking to them that they're being given wisdom to act accordingly to whatever situation they're in life. But then you hear the people say, "Oh, God got my back. He's gonna cover me. I'm not worried." But see, those are the fools, because those are the ones that Satan has convinced and given confidence that they can test God. Because, see, you're testing God when you say, "I can do this and I can do that, and God got me." But you're not even lining up with him or his wisdom. You're the fool. And then you have the nerve to think that you can actually, what was one of the analogies Apostle Temple had gave us when he was teaching on testing God? He said, "Stick your hand down in a hole of a snake hole, and then say, 'God got me.'" If you really got that confidence, stick your hand down in a snake hole and grab for a snake, and then say, "I'm not worried about it. God got me." That's foolishness. You're not to stick your hand down in no snake hole, because guess what? You liable. You definitely probably gonna get bit, because now you're sticking your hand somewhere it ain't supposed to be. And then the mentality or attitude to say, "God got me," that's foolishness. I hear people saying, "Oh, if I get the coronavirus, I'm not worried about it because God got me. I'm not going to wear no mask. I'm not going to social distance. I'm not going to stay out of places that they've ordered us to not congregate in large numbers." A lot of things that we are being told to do in the social setting and the government is advising us to do, if we just listen, you can hear godly counsel in that. You can hear godly wisdom in that. But there's no wisdom when you don't apply it. When you don't receive it, you can't impart wisdom in your life. If you can't impart wisdom there, you're not going to be able to impart wisdom in your everyday life later on or throughout any other situation in your life. If you can't even understand the importance of social distancing and keeping the numbers of people that are infected away from you and your family and your loved ones, so that godly wisdom went out the window, and here you are a fool. And you all, and then you have people talking about, "Oh, no weapon formed against me shall prosper." It's not going to prosper against God's people that fall under his wisdom, that have his anointing, that are obedient to him, and that they are in line with him. That's who "no weapon formed against you shall prosper" is for. It's not for that foolish one that likes to go around sticking their hands in snake holes and testing God and claiming a scripture or a promise that God gives for his people, and you're not his people, because his people hears his voice and they abide in him. So I'm moving on down a little bit more, and it says, "They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder." Those people, that is not the spirit of God on those people. So guess what? They can't have godly wisdom. God can't impart wisdom in a fool that would want to do such evil deeds, because one, they don't belong to him, because his people don't kill, steal, and destroy. Going on, it says, "If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away." See, a bird, an animal, has the common sense to stay away. But here we are trying to do what we want to do. We want to ride on our own understanding. We want to lean on our own understanding. How can we have godly wisdom when even the birds have it? But here we are out here congregating and going out and being in society, and all of the numbers across the states are going up, and the hospitalizations are going up. They're running out of hospital beds because people are being so disobedient. And they say, "Well, the government's not going to tell me this, and the government's not going to tell me that." But guess what? God gave that government authority over us. And when God put that authority over us, we are to understand that that authority is there for a reason. And we're not supposed to lay down for the injustice of whatever the government is imposing on us. But we do know that they are giving us medical and sound advice from the CDC and wherever else to social distance and to actually wear our masks and to not congregate with more than 10 people at a time. And all of those things come into play of having that protection, because then no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because you did what God had given you godly wisdom to do. Even if it did come through the government's announcement on how to protect ourselves from this virus. What, that's what we were trying to explain when Sister Nita said, don't turn your ear or a deaf ear to godly wisdom when it may even come from a child or a sister or brother in Christ. It's not that they're prophesying over you or whatever. They may be saying it unknowingly, or they may be giving you something that's going to save your life. So as I go on down, it says, but these people set an ambush for themselves. They are trying to get themselves killed. What does that sound like right there? That's what comes to mind when I see people saying, well, I'm going to go on vacation and I'm going to go to this pool party. I saw a pool party inside of a nightclub on one of the social media sites. These people were in the water, dancing around, no social distancing. They definitely didn't have masks on in the swimming pool, and they were partying their behinds off. How many people had godly wisdom in that scenario? How many people imparted wisdom in that thing? We're in the height of a pandemic, and God gave us the godly wisdom because he gave our government the ability to broadcast what we need to do to keep ourselves safe. But there was no godly wisdom in that, and they doing it to themselves. So when they end up in the hospitals and the morgue is overflowing, who do we blame? Who do we blame? Because if you don't have the godly wisdom, if you don't have any kind of wisdom, you're not going to be able to survive. Guess what? If a bird or animal has that good sense to not be enslaved or entrapped, why can't we have that good sense? But see, that good common sense, like we said earlier, is not common. But God's people have it. God's people have it because that's another promise. Because he said he would lead and guide us, and he would pour into us. So now we getting a good idea of what wisdom is not because of what the fools of the world are imparting, not only on others, because when you do go out and you're asymptomatic and you're spreading the virus, you're still a fool because you might not even gotten it for yourself and gotten you sick, but you killed grandma. You killed auntie so-and-so or uncle so-and-so. Their immune system was compromised, and they couldn't withstand you carrying the virus into their home or into their presence. So at the end of the day, we have to be reminded that everybody doesn't serve the Lord and doesn't entertain his Holy Spirit to even get imparted that spiritual wisdom, that godly wisdom. But at some point, we have to pray for them that they would at least have common sense wisdom. And then hopefully it will trickle on into them realizing who the one true living God is, and that Jesus Christ is their Savior, and that they can be redeemed, and there would be the promises falling on them, and they wouldn't erroneously holler, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper," or "God got me, I'm under the blood," and all of that, because they're speaking in error, because they have no clue of who God is. They're just quoting scripture because it sounded good, and they think that if they speak it, that it's going to fall on them. No, it ain't that. That's lip service to have. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And lastly, y'all, it ends on 19, and it says, such a fate of all who are greedy for money, it robs them of life. There's a lot of people out here that we're moving and we're seeing doing things because of a lifestyle that they want to achieve, a status in society that they want to achieve. This is a greed for money, because sometimes it ain't what you need, it's what you want that gets you in trouble. And then when they go and they strive for this lifestyle and they get greedy for money to obtain it, that puts them in a predicament where they are not using godly wisdom. Godly wisdom would not have you commit crimes to make more money or to live a certain lifestyle or to attain material things. See, the greed in that is just like this. If you have the ability to go get some things on your own and it's not what you need, but it's what you want, and then it's never enough, see, you're already entertaining a spirit that is not of God, because God doesn't deal in greed. You know, when we have these things that we want and we go and do things that aren't lining up with God because it might not be ethical, you know, you might be in the law, or if you're a professional, you might try to get away with something and you become unethical in your lifestyle and practice. You find yourself doing things to get more to because you're so greedy. And that greed sets you up to where you become a fool. You could be a lawyer making $200,000-$300,000 a year, and you could actually be able to accumulate a great amount of wealth in a yearly salary, but you have the ethics that you were supposed to abide by when you took an oath to be a lawyer. You fall away from that because you're going to try to do things that's going to win a case or that's going to make you the biggest settlement with that client, and you're going to instruct them to do things that is not godly, that is not true, that, I mean, that is not honest. I mean, you have dishonest ways, and you have a dishonest mindset, and that your thinking is about, well, I'm trying to get ahead. I'm trying to make this thing bigger. I'm trying to get more. And that dishonesty, that's not a characteristic of God, and God didn't give you that wisdom to do whatever you're doing to get to the point where you can accumulate that extra money or that big paycheck or whatever it is that you're scamming to do, because, see, now you're going into a fraudulent mindset. Now you're going into something that's not of God, because godly wisdom would never encourage you to do the things that go against the Ten Commandments or his two greatest commandments. And then the moral standard that you have, it's been lowered poor morality-wise. And that's what is not wise. That is not a wise person. That is not what wisdom is about. Wisdom is about doing things correct and in order. And as God speaks to me on the rest of this scripture, it just told me that they're not getting robbed. They're not robbing people because they're greedy for money. They rob themselves of life. How did you rob yourself of life? You shorten your days. You actually had committed a sin that could bring forth a spiritual death that would allow you to actually go to hell, a spiritual death that you wouldn't even be allowed to get out of, because, see, you're going deeper and deeper or further and further away from God. That is what it's speaking of when it robs you of life. That was the end of what scripture, verse 19 was speaking about. And I'll say it one more time because somebody needs to hear this and check themselves. I know it's hard out there and you want to have nice things in life, but God has a way of making provisions for you. You don't have to go out of the way and try to scam and beat the system. You don't have to steal from your employer. You don't have to do the things that are not of God. You got to use godly wisdom. See, a fool would jeopardize their life. A fool would make foolish decisions and take the chance of losing their career over something that's going to make them a little extra money. And what good is it a man to profit the whole world but to lose his soul? And that's what that 19 is talking about. That 19 is talking about those who might have did all right in a career, and then they got so greedy they said that they wanted to steal from the job or take advantage of clients that might be they dealing with in their career or whatever occupation they're in. All of those things come to people that don't have godly counsel. They don't abide in God. They don't worship God. They don't serve the Lord. They don't allow him to have his way in their life, because when he has his way and he imparts his will in you, you will get that godly wisdom. You will allow God to do whatever it is that needs to be done. And if you just listen and slow down, patient, when you seek him, he'll give you that wisdom. He'll help you make those judgments. He'll help you make those decisions. And he will also give you that protection of no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He will also put you under the blood and take care of you. And that means that whatever comes up against you, you shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't be worried, because you know that you acted in godly wisdom. You heard God's answer, and you applied it to your life. And with that, I'm going to leave off. And, sister, I turn it over to you.
Amen, amen. We thank you for sharing what is not wisdom. But I would like to sit and say this is that we must remember that wisdom, in order for you to really walk in wisdom, is something that you have to work on, because each and every last one of us in life has been a fool. Each and every last one of us in our past time have done things that put us in situations where we may have had to be chastised, where we may have had, where we may just had to just, you know, we were in a place where our back was up against the door. But the beauty part of it is when you sit and you finish reading Proverbs 1, when you're going into 20, wisdom calls out to us. The scripture says that wisdom calls out to us and try to get our attention, to try to get us to correct our ways and do things the right way. She's in the street calling us. She's in your ear calling us, and we learn these things from our past mistakes. Our past mistakes takes us into the rightful position where we're able to obtain the things that we do. So what we need to do is just know that it's something that we have to apply. We have to change our mindset. We have to receive the wisdom that God has given us. We have to do a transformation, a changing of the mind, and allow God to lead us and to guide us. And not just that, to listen. You have to listen to what God is telling you. Whoever he's using right now in your ear, make sure that that person is not just speaking, that they're an example of what you want, an example of what you need. They're an example to lead you and to guide you. Because if they cannot lead you by example, then you on the wrong path. You are a simpleton. You are a fool. So you want to make sure that the people that you're surrounding yourself with are people that's going to help you to get to the next level. People that's going to help to enhance your wisdom, not take the wisdom away from you. And if you sit and you look at your over your life situation, you'll see that it may be people right now in your circle that you may need to sit and cut, but you have to make a wise decision. And I can sit and give a testimony that I had to make a wise decision last year, whether I was going to be with certain people or whether I was going to sit and let God lead me and guide me by seeing, not having to hear the words, but by seeing. And then if when the words came, you have to apply them together. You have to make sure that people that's before you are doing the things that you want to do. They're not in a group of people that can't help you. All they can do is just sit and gossip, and you get amongst them, and then you become them. And then you have to sit and cry out to God and ask you to change who you are, to change, apply that wisdom. And I'm glad that God allowed me to go through some circumstances so on today I can speak on wisdom. On today I can sit and apply wisdom into my life, which is making a change. I'm not in the streets doing the things that I used to be. I'm not dealing with the people that I used to deal with. I'm able to see jealousy. I'm able to see anger. I'm able to see hatred. I'm able to see my wrongness and make it into a rightness. And why? Because I accepted the gift of wisdom in my life. So I charge you all to do the same thing. Allow wisdom, the gift of wisdom, allow her to come and lead you and guide you. Come out as usual. You know we're not going to ever leave this broadcast without inviting you. I would be robbing you of a great experience. I would be robbing you from being able to receive the bread of life, which God wants us to do. I would be robbing you from receiving the good news that God has. He wants for his people right now so you can make a change, so you can apply the same wisdom that we're talking to about in your life. So come out with us tonight and on our 8 p.m. broadcast. And I get excited just talking about it because I know that my stock's going to get, I'm going to get blessed over and over, and I'm able to pick up the phone and call my sons and share what has been given to me, or call my mom and share, or call my sisters and people. I love it when I'm able to call my family that's dealing with different religions and serving different gods and share my notes with them. So I encourage you all to do the same. The number is 385 385-799-9620. Again, 385-799-9620. And we're going to leave you again and tell you to slow down, put yourself in a position where you are able to receive what God has for you. Put yourself under someone that's going to sit and not just walk, talk the talk, but they're walking the walk. So you can be a product of whatever. If you are attached, just as we're attached and connected to God, if you have the right attachment, when that person uses their godly wisdom to go to the next phase, you're going to go with them. But you have to believe. You have to receive. And then you have to put that into action. Don't sit and say, I'm attached, but then in all reality, you're not. You have to grab on. And as they move, then you move. It's just like playing chess. When you move, they move, you move. And as I guarantee you, I'm a living testimony right now, your life will change if you are dealing with a man and woman of God or whomever your headship is besides God. You will be a winner. This my winning season. So, and that's my winning season because I had to learn and receive the gift of wisdom. So I pray that you all do the same. We love you, but remember, God loves you most. Go out, have a great day in the Lord. Do not let any obstacles get in your way. Do not go out and do something that you know isn't correct. Make sure that you're being safe and making a wise decision in each and everything that you do. If you don't know if it's going to hurt you or harm you, run away from it. But I sit and I leave with you all today. Try wisdom. Allow wisdom to lead you and guide you so your situation and your circumstances can change. Have a blessed day. God bless.